day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Let me just read from the release that came out a few hours ago. Just here it is, 3:34 a.m. This was posted on the internet. Queen Elizabeth II has died at the age of 96, Buckingham Palace has announced. Her eldest son, Charles, is now king. Buckingham Palace released a statement just after 6:30 p.m. Thursday local time. That's 3:30 a.m. Friday Australian Eastern Standard Time. Confirming the Queen had died at her Balmoral estate in the Scottish Highlands. It read the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral this afternoon. The King and the Queen Consort will remain at Balmoral this evening and will return to London tomorrow. Charles, who will now be known as King Charles III, issued a statement saying, "The death of his beloved mother was a moment of the greatest sadness for me," he said, "and for all members of my family. We mourn profoundly the passing of a cherished sovereign and a much-loved mother." He said, "I know her loss will be deeply felt throughout the country, the realms and the Commonwealth, and by countless people around the world." He went on to say, "During this period of mourning and change, my family and I will be comforted and sustained by our knowledge of the respect and deep affection in which the Queen was so widely held." Britain's Prime Minister Liz Truss, who the Queen appointed only on Tuesday, said the former monarch was, quote, "the rock on which modern Britain was built. Our country has grown and flourished under her reign," said Miss Truss. "Britain is the great country it is today because of her." Now, I'll just briefly mention the arrangements. The Queen's body is expected to be taken from Balmoral to Edinburgh. Today, ceremonies will be carried out in the Scottish capital before the Queen's remains begin the journey south to London. Her body is then expected to be taken to Buckingham Palace's throne room before lying in state for 4 days in Westminster Hall. Look, it was this morning, you know, down at Rusty's Market, it was amazing the number of people who wanted to talk about their fond memories. And this included people who I've known over the years as died in the world, Republicans. But there was something about the fact that 70-year reign. And even before that, in World War II, as Winston Churchill had remarked, I mean, here was a 16-year-old girl working as a mechanic. This was, you know, this is the woman that was to become, for 70 years, the queen of virtually the Commonwealth, working as a mechanic during World War II. Everyone that met her as she grew up just loved her. She was just the most wonderful person to deal with. She visited Australia 16 times. There were people there this morning who remembered what they wore when the Queen arrived and was travelling through our city, etc. Now, one of the gentlemen who has very fond memories of a day spent with the late Queen, former Mayor Kevin Byrne, contacted me this morning and said, "I'd like to say a few words about that very, very special day in my life." And he's on the line now. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Very sad news indeed.
Yeah, I woke up this morning to the sad news, and it is indeed. I thought she'd live forever. She was just one of those people, and in that preamble that you've just gone through, she visited our part of the world on two occasions. The now king came here, and he was a guest of Sir Sidney Williams years ago. Went out to Lizard Island and spent some time there, and he would have very fond memories of Cairns too. And we were blessed; we had a visit of the monarch, the previous queen, on two occasions in the times that she visited Australia. She came here twice. And I was privileged, and one of the many privileges you have as you, when you're the mayor of a beautiful city like Cairns, is an opportunity awaits you around every corner. And this was an opportunity when she came out in about 2001 from memory, and she was opening Chogham, and she came up here for a day. And we were contacted by the British High Commission to say that we're on the itinerary list, and would we assist in putting together the visit, which we did with the Protocol Department of the Queensland Government. The Premier of the day was Peter Beattie. And we went out of our way to make sure that she was welcomed here. The people of Cairns went out of their way to welcome her. And the day, are you happy for me to go through the events of that day,
John? Oh, most definitely, definitely.
Okay, so I met her at the airport with my daughter and wife, and we greeted her when she got off the plane, and that was the start of just a wonderful day, fun-filled day. We went around to the hangar at the Royal Flying Doctor Service, where she commissioned a new aircraft. She was met there by the Premier, and there were a whole bunch of invited guests, of course. And from there, we went to Freshwater train station, where we jumped aboard the train and went up to Kuranda. And the Queensland Government provided those some carriages from their Orient Express train that they had running here for tourism purposes all those years ago. And we had lunch. There were two tables. There was she and myself and Amanda and the Premier at one table, and His Royal Highness Prince Philip and Mick Borsey and his wife and Mrs. Beattie at the other table. And we had this wonderful luncheon, and just the eight of us in this carriage. We went up, and then they visited Skyrail at Kuranda. And then on the way back, it was a pretty full-on day for them. On the way back, we came down via Skyrail, and I was in a gondola with George Chapman and Ken Chapman and the Prince and his equerry. So we swapped over on the way back, and then out to the airport. Another quick change of clothing, and they're on their way back to Brisbane, to Government House in Brisbane. And that was the day. But during that day, you know, when she left, I turned around to some people near me and I said, you know, we'll never experience the like of that person again. And she was so intensely interested in our city, in our region. She was a conversationalist. She was honest. I never forget one of the things I had to do was the British High Commission contacted me, their protocol department, and said to me, I need you to convey a message to Her Majesty at some point during the day that she will be delighted to know the news of. And it was essentially that, remember Robert Mugabe, who was the boss of Zimbabwe
at the time,
was threatening to create havoc at this Chogham meeting that she came out to open at on the Sunshine Coast, the resort on the Sunshine Coast there. And he kept everybody waiting to the last minute because it was a protocol issue. And he decided at the last minute he wasn't going to travel. Somebody said, you better not travel there. Anyway, I said to Her Highness at the time, I said, ma'am, I said, I've been asked to convey a message to you personally from your High Commission. And she looked at me and she said, oh, what's that, Mayor? And I said, ma'am, I said, Robert Mugabe has decided that he won't be attending Chogham. And she looked at me with those beautiful steely eyes and she said, oh, thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that. You know, and it was just as if you were sitting at with your extended family at a Christmas luncheon or something. She was just so disarmingly honest, so interested, asking questions. What's that? What's this? How are you going about that? And deeply appreciative of the fact that this was a place that her son so much enjoyed when he was a guest of Sir Sidney Williams all those years ago. And I was genuinely saddened this morning. I woke up and turned on the TV and I thought, no, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. And I didn't want to believe it, because she was such a present in all of our lives. Throughout my life, she's been a constant, you know. And, yeah, it was as if part of your family left this morning. You know, I was really sad.
It's interesting, you know, the history over those decades. Since you was a very young girl, even at the end of the war, when you would have pictures in your mind of those milling crowds in London with the capitulation of Germany, and she convinced her father, the king, and her mother, the queen mother, obviously, later, as she was known, convinced them that her and her sister should be allowed to go down as anonymous members of the British population and mix and mingle with those huge crowds, as they did anonymously. And you imagine it today, but that's what they did, and that's what she had, that adventurous spirit already surging then. And then all those decades dealing with all of those, well, 15 British prime ministers, starting with Winston Churchill for a start. She dealt closely with all of those. The Australian prime minister, particularly Sir Robert Menzies, as he became known later. I remember the quote, and it became legendary back then, "I did but see her passing by, and yet I love her till I die." I mean, she had this amazing magnetism about her.
She did, John. That's so eloquently put, mate. She did. And she genuinely did. And I can attest to that. And, you know, when I think of her life, at the age of 24, her father dying suddenly, she's on a trip to Kenya with her pretty well brand new husband, Prince Philip, who was a staunch, sidekick to her through her entire life and his too. And she dedicated her life to service at the age of 24 and did it so magnanimously and so beautifully and with great aplomb and presence at the age of 24, for God's sake. And there was this whole nation, out of the Second World War, still coming to grips with all that, and she looked that nation in the eye pretty well and said, "I'm here." Mm. And there she's been for 70 years.
Yes.
And look at the outpouring of affection and love and so on at that magnificent celebration that they did less than 6 months ago in the UK, her 70th anniversary.
Mm.
And these people don't come around that often.
Yes.
You know, this is a once-in-a-generation individual.
Mm.
And I just hope that regardless of what side of the fence you stand on, whether you're a monarchist or a loyalist or what, a Republican or whatever, just remember that we won't see the likes of that particular person again. And the tribulations and trials she's gone through, keeping that extended family with all its frailties together in the public eye.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you think mayors are in the public eye and, politicians are in the public eye out here. Those people can't sneeze without somebody telling you what sort of tissue they use.
Mm.
So, you can go on forever talking about this. I know time is precious, but I want people of Cairns to know that we had a special place in her heart. I know that because she's told me that.
Mm.
And she loved it up here. She loved the tropics. She was keenly interested in the direction of this city. And it was a great privilege to be able to tell her all about it, and I miss her deeply.
Really appreciate your words this morning, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Former Mayor of Cairns, Kevin Byrne, just repeating the announcement that emerged this morning, 3:34 a.m. Buckingham Palace has announced Queen Elizabeth II has died at the age of 96.